Our scripture lesson today comes from Psalm 146. All of it. Wally, come here a minute. Go back in that room. There's a stool. I think it's just inside that door. Get that stool for me, please. I overdid it yesterday. Psalm 146, while you're looking it up. I overdid it yesterday because Buck Wally and I got invited down to Orange, Virginia to run a steam engine. And I've been getting shots in my knees, and I may have exerted myself a whole lot of too much climbing up and down and across steam engines and everything in between. Is it not back there? A wooden stool?
Yeah.
That'll work. Oh, is that the one?
It's probably on the other side.
That's fine. That's taller than the other. It's something to take a moment off every now and then. Thank you. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we come before you to hear these words that you have laid out. We ask that you would open our heart and give us the strength that we need, Father. Lift us up through this. Let it be what we need to use in the week to come going forward, and may we come to know you closer through these words given to me by you, not mine. Lessons for us to use, Father. Join our hearts together as we move through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Now, let me do a brief survey here. How many people in this room make plans to do anything? Just say amen. Put your hands up. Amen. Everybody in this room makes plans. And just in case, let me be clear. How many people have made plans or are making plans right now? And I know who you are. I see your hand, Leo. Some of you are back there, you know, thinking to yourself, just as soon as he is done talking, we have got to figure out where we're going to lunch today. And some of you are making plans for pizza and hamburgers and steak and I don't know what else. And it hurts me to know that you're focusing on that instead of on the dulcet tones coming out of my mouth. Now, how many people, by show of hands, have had plans fail? Oh, yeah. How many people have gotten frustrated when their plans fail? How many people have said, why did this happen? How many people have said, nothing ever goes right? How many people have uttered that famous phrase, that didn't go as planned? You know what that means? Failure. Ooh, Paul, you can't say that word in church. You can't say failure. That hurts people's feelings. You're pointing out something. I'm sorry. We're all failures. Nah, 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 nah. And there's nothing you can do to me to make me stop saying it. Because we do. We make plans and they fail. And that makes us, for a moment, feel like failures. Right? Say amen.
Amen.
Does that mean you're a failure?
Yes.
Yeah. Leo, you and I will talk later. No, you're not a failure. You had something go wrong. You laid out plans for something and it didn't work the way you wanted it to work. You're not a failure. You failed. And there's a big difference in that. A failure is someone who just gives flat smack up. Failed means, well, we got to try it again. I have got a new truck. I sold one truck and I bought another truck. Truck's out in the parking lot. I was all excited. Got a big new truck, pulled my gooseneck trailer, put my tractors on it. It's got plenty of rear end capacity to it. It can haul the weight. Woohoo! I'm excited. I finally got it all set, made the deal, sold one truck, paid for the other truck. Woohoo! Was all excited. Picked the truck up Wednesday, drove it here to Bible study, which no one was at, by the way. But on the way here, brand new truck. I've had the truck now 4 hours. Man, I smell oil. I shouldn't be smelling oil. And I don't think that's right. So I called who I bought the truck from, which happens to be family. I said, hey, I smell oil. Well, I never smelled it. Well, I'm smelling it now. You ever put any windshield washer fluid in this thing? I can't see out the window. Oh, it's probably empty. So I stopped at the gas station to put some in it. And I turned around and looked at my brand new truck out there, and oil was dripping out from under it. Not drip. Not drip. It was good. I thought the Exxon Valdez had hit my truck. And I became upset. And so I drove it over here to church and parked it in the grass, climbed underneath of it, and determined, yep, it's an oil leak. And I called my cousin back, and he said, I'm on my way up there. I'm going to swing by. Don't make sense. I had just driven it a couple days ago. And he comes over here, and we get the hood up, and we start climbing all over it, and we find that the oil supply tube to the top of the turbo, the gasket, had failed. And it was gushing oil out. And so we drove up to the store, got a gasket and a wrench, because neither one of us had the right size. And we fixed it. And nobody was here, and that was all right. While I waited for him to get the parts, I came in here and had prayer meeting. And I was glad that nobody had come, because I would have had to excuse myself to take care of this problem. And that's what I had to do on my brand new truck on a Wednesday night. Was that a failure? No. Something failed, but it was not a failure. In 1902, the poetry editor of Atlantic Monthly returned a stack of poems to a man with this note: our magazine has no room for your vigorous verse. Please stop submitting them. The poet was Robert Frost. In 1905, the University of Bern turned down a doctoral dissertation as irrelevant and fanciful and no place in modern science or society. The writer was Albert Einstein. In 1894, an English teacher noted on a teenager's report card, a conspicuous lack of success will follow this individual. I'm going to say that line again. That's harsh. Let me see if I can get into the right mode. A conspicuous line of conspicuous lack of success will follow this individual always. The student was Winston Churchill. You see what I'm saying? Deemed as failures, but not. So hang on a minute. Is everything that does not work out a failure? No. And we as Christians, I love you, but we are the worst for letting that get to us. And why are we the worst? Why are we different from the other people out there that don't know no better? Because we know better. Because we know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that all things are taken care of for us, and yet we sometimes let fear and anxiety over things that are not working out carry us away. All of us do. I'm a big example of it. We have a dent in the wall of the shop at my uncle's where I tried to do something that he told me wouldn't work, and I told him he was a doddering old fool, and I put a tool together and yanked back on it, And when the tool broke and half of it went flying across the shop, it dented the wall. And he looked at me and he goes, "That didn't go as planned, did it?" I don't like that old man sometimes. And yet, we have great examples of failures all around us, or things that did not go as planned, that failed, and we can learn lessons from it. His name is Arthur Paul Pedrick. Nobody in this room has ever heard of him. And I guarantee you why, because I had never heard of him. He was born in 1918 and died in 1976. Arthur was a prolific British inventor who filed for 162 United Kingdom patents between 1962 and his death in 1966. His inventions were notable for humor and complete lack of practical application. He filed for 162 of them, and not a single one ever did anything. Why in the world would I know about Arthur Pedrick, and what in the world does that got to do with the sermon today as planned? Well, let me tell you what. In researching this and looking for failures, I stumbled across Arthur Pedrick. Arthur Pedrick did not put those inventions together to try to get them patented. He put them together to bring forth compassion for the human plight. He would discuss within his patents the problem of the world that led to his inventions and recount conversations between himself and his number one lab assistant, his ginger cat named Ginger. I thought somebody would catch that. Some of those tangents show how Pedrick thought of mankind and his love for them. He was slightly eccentric and a deep concern for the well-being of others and the future of mankind, as well as being dismissive of modern capitalism. One of his quotes that sticks to my ribs goes as follows. Almost 2,000 years ago, a strange character called Jesus Christ went about Palestine saying, "We should love our enemies." But he was crucified before much notice was taken of him. And it is very curious that the very land of Palestine is now one of the world's trouble spots in 1974. That's curious, isn't it? Would you call Jesus Christ a failure? Did he fail at his mission? Now, he is considered a failure by most standards, but let's go back to this for a moment. Go back to your scriptures for a moment. I want to go back through that. A lot of times we use the Psalms when we're happy and joyful, or when we're repentative and we need to show the world that we are repenting from whatever we did that was wrong. And so we read through the Psalms because that's the synopsis of the Psalms. That is the marriage of them. That is the unity of Psalms. That you can be joyous because you failed, you repent, you gained your footing again, you were lifted back up and you were joyous, and it gets to come back around in a cycle. In the very first verse, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." How many times when something has failed for you, have you stopped and said, "Praise the Lord for that"? Don't put your hands up, because you'll be lying in church and I'll have to write another sermon. How many people, when you were out there and you were backing out of a parking space in the parking lot and you weren't paying attention and backed into the streetlight pole or to the fence or to the post office box or whatever it was behind you, went, "Praise the Lord"? No! You went, "What? Why does this happen to me? Say amen. Amen." That's what you said. "Why does this happen to me? What did I do wrong? Who did I make mad today?" The author here is unknown. Excuse me. But in these verses, he pulls out the human spirit of failure. And he teaches us a truth of that which we think we failed. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Gene, you got bit 7 times. Yeah, Gene, you're Gene. That's Martha. That's your husband, Jimmy. Stay with me. You got bit 7 times by a raccoon, right?
Five times.
That's a big difference, isn't it? Once would have been enough, wouldn't it? You got bit 5 times by a raccoon. When you were getting bit, did you, praise the Lord, praise the Lord? No! How many shots did you have to have? About 1,000? 38 shots. And yet here you sit today. You didn't give up. You don't give up on the Lord. The psalmist here is writing those words. He is putting forth what happened to Gene. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes. Let me rephrase that. Let me interpret that. Let me lay it down for you in hillbilly speak. Don't pay attention to your next door rich neighbor. Or the world for that matter. Because every single one of us are going to leave here. And when we leave, all of our plans, all of our thoughts go away with us. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Nothing. It's an old joke, but it's not really funny. How many hearses have you ever seen with a luggage rack? None. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, the maker of heaven and earth. Stop right there. If you don't pull anything else out of my ramblings today, I want you to pull out one thing. My sermon title is As Planned. Right there in that verse, the psalmist writer lays down that the Lord of all, God Almighty, has everything going as planned. Everything. He made the heaven and the earth. He made mosquitoes. Why? I'll tell you why he made mosquitoes. When they're sitting there tugging at you and biting you, and you're spraying yourself down with Oft or Scent So Smell, or what's that stuff you get? What is it? Skin So Soft. Yeah, I got news for you. None of that stuff works. If you want to have keep skeeters off of you, just rub yourself down with gasoline. Works every time. Just be careful. But he made mosquitoes, and people talk about it. And when they're talking about it, they start figuring out ways to keep the skeeters from biting you. That's as planned. It don't make sense until you think about it like that. He made the heaven and the earth. He created things that we cannot fathom. My son said to me on the way to church this morning, Dad, I read somewheres that colors are simply a way of making the mind's eye trick you into thinking and seeing the world a certain way. How did you put it?
It said, like, I heard somewhere that colors were just made up by your brain to differentiate things from other things.
This is how people think. Not him. He just read it. Normal conversation. That colors are made up by your brain to help you differentiate the world. That's not what I've read. I've read that Jesus Christ has stated that his Father created the heaven and the earth. He created the colors. He created the rain, the snow, the heat, the everything, the birds. And we know that we all live in this mountain. And what's the one thing we look forward to in October if the weather has been right? Them colors. And all of it is going as planned. Once we wrap our head around that, we can come to a different understanding of the trials and tribulations that we are forced to go through. The sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. Not many people would consider Arthur, who was a kook and a failure, for a moment. But for me, I thirst for knowledge, and I know many of you do. And so, when I happened to read on him, I thought, no, wait a minute. This is as planned. I'm trying to figure out why things happen the way they do and frustrate us. And yet, it's all because it's the way the Lord has said it as He has planned it. And you think He hasn't planned everything that takes place? Then apparently you don't know the same Lord that I do. He has everything. What is the song that we sing? He's got the... You can finish the rest of it. Come on. In His hands. Why do we sing that song? Well, I say, why do we sing it?
Oh, I don't know.
I love her. Just do it, Paul. Just go on. Why do we sing that song? Do we sing that song because Linda picked it out that Sunday? Well, yeah, because if we don't sing it, she'll smack everybody in here. But why? Do we believe it? Amen? He's got the whole world in His hands. He created it. He's created everything. He's created everything that has happened, everything that is happening, and everything that will happen. It all goes according to His will. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 says as such, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen.
Amen.
As planned. He's not going to let us just skip along. We have to know His plan little by little by little. We are too often strained and lost in the face of failure, yet how in the world can we refer to it as plan? Now, you don't have to follow along with me because I'm going to fly along through this. But I want to read you some verses from the beginning of the Bible. In case you've forgotten, that's Genesis. In Genesis 37, I want you to listen to these two verses. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him, and they threw him in the cistern. Now the cistern was empty, and there was no water in it. Who remembers this story? Say amen.
Amen.
The favorite kid, Joseph. He got what? He got thrown in a well. Would you say that he had a reason to think maybe he was a failure? That wasn't good enough for it yet, was it? Do you think he was frustrated? Do you think that because he danced around with his coat, talking about the dream he had and how everybody would bow down to him, he laid in the bottom of that well going, well, that didn't go as planned. And yet, in fact, it went exactly as the Lord planned it. Let's try another verse. In the 39th verse. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. So Joseph got sold. He got sold. But he got sold into the house of Potiphar. Of course, we all know what happens, right? He shows himself to be a great young lad. He learned his lesson getting thrown on his head in a well. Everything's going to be good from him from now on out. God did as God planned. Joseph learned a lesson. Going to be a good boy now, right? When the master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated with me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And we all know why. Because some girl wanted him to give her a little hug and kiss, and he said no, and she got mad and told him told a lie about him, and he got thrown in jail. And how long was he in jail? 3 years. Do you think that went as planned? It did, according to God. Joseph is now learning, now growing, now becoming something. And after everything that goes on, even when the cupbearer got taken out of prison and forgot about Joseph, the Lord has not forgotten him or the Lord's plans for Joseph. In the 41st verse, I'm sorry, in the 40th verse, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and as wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. I love that story. And the story doesn't end there. What happens next? There's a famine. Who has to come see Joseph? His brothers and dad. Oh my goodness. And he could go out there and he's going to have a little fun with them, because Joseph is a little bit of a character. And he takes a hold of one of the boys and he kind of fools around with him. And then he reveals himself and he forgives him. And he brings him in and he loves him and he takes care of him. And we see the beginning of a philosophy that will carry on from now until we're called home. Love those who persecute you. Love your enemies. You are not a failure when you are weak, because you are upheld by the Almighty Jesus Christ, who went through it all the same way you did. All as planned. On New Year's Day, 1929, Georgia Tech played University of California in the Rose Bowl. And in that game, a man named Roy Riggles recovered a fumble for California. And somehow he became confused and started running 65 yards in the wrong direction. One of his teammates, Benny Lum, outdistanced him and downed him just before he scored a touchdown for the Tech. With California attempting to punt, Tech blocked the kick and scored a safety, which was the ultimate margin of victory. This strange play came in the very first half of the game, and everyone was watching the game was asking the same question. What will Coach Nibbs Price do with Roy in the second half? And the men left the field and they went into the room, the locker rooms, and they sat down on benches and on the floor, all but Riggles. He wrapped himself up in a blanket and went over in the corner. The big, strong, towering man wrapped himself and cried, sobbing uncontrollably. Now, I've never played football, but if you have played it before, you know that a coach usually says a great deal to his team during that time. Come on, guys, let's go out there and get them. Ah, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's all right, we can win this game. Ah. You know, in the coach room, win one for the Gipper. Coach Price looked at his team after the timekeeper came in and announced that there were 3 minutes left to play. He said, men, the same team that played in the first half will start the second. Then Roy Riggles looked up and put his head back down. Coach walked over to him and said, didn't you hear what I said? The same team that played in the first half is going out in the second. Roy Riggles looked up, tears wet on his face. Coach, I can't do it to save my life. I've ruined you. I've ruined the University of California. I've ruined myself. I couldn't face that crowd in that stadium to save my life. Then Coach Price reached out, put his hand on Riggles' shoulder, and said to him, Roy, get up, go back on. The game is only half over. They say Roy Riggles went back out, and the Tech men will tell you that their victory that day came because they had never seen a man play like Roy Riggles before. As planned. When we fail, our ultimate moment when we fail is the chance to step back up again and be ready to accept and lead. When someone comes to us and says these words, and I hate these words, it makes me almost bust out into tears when I hear anybody say anything at any time along these lines. I'm not good enough for Jesus to love me. I can't get my arms far enough around Him to squeeze them tight enough. Yeah, you are. You ain't done nothing to separate you from the love of the Lord. Your failures are failures. It doesn't mean you are a failure. It means you have failed. You have tripped. You have fallen. You have stumbled. Get back up. The greatest story of what the world thought was a failure ended as planned in this manner. And then they went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" God bless you. "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put Him." And at this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," He said, "why? Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have put Him, and I will go and get Him." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward Him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. What was considered the greatest failure ever went exactly as planned. Oh yeah, about the truck. Because I drove it Wednesday night and I wanted to take it for a ride this weekend, we were invited down to Orange, Virginia, 120 miles from here, to go to a steam engine show so the boys could run a good friend of mine's engine. Because that failure, we were able to identify it and continue on with the weekend as planned. Yeah. Let us live for the work God has given us. We may fall. We may fail. We are not failures. We are living as God has planned. The maker of the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever, He upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But He frustrates the wicked of the world. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Everything as planned. May we rest in knowing that through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You today, maybe there's somebody in this room that's broken down. They can't make sense of things. They can't make heads or tails of why they're going the way they're going, Father. If that's so, I pray that they come forward at the altar call and leave it here behind. That they seek out and reach out for prayer. But I pray, Father, that no one in this room ever labels themselves a failure. Ever, 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 never. For everything that happens is according to You as planned. I don't think that if we could rewrite history, we would want Jesus Christ to die the way He did. But had He not, we would not be saved. According to Your will. Father, strengthen us in the things that beat on us and assail us. And let us not forget the glory that is just beyond, waiting for us one day. Count us as saved under Jesus Christ and lift us up. We thank you, Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.